Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. We have all fall calving. We start middle of August and almost done calving now. I always have a few later ones. Have 150 commercial beef cows, which are Angus, Hereford, and Simmental Cross. Have a small herd, 25 registered polled Herefords, and usually develop 50 to 60 bred heifers a year. Cattle management practices, we started... I've got a total herd AI. I started in 1995, and that was back in the dinosaur days of luteolice and heat detect for 5 days and get cattle up. It's so much easier now. It doesn't even seem like a job. Retain ownership. My goal every year is to average graze in 300 days a year. I can come close. A couple years I've done it, and some years I'll be in the 280, 290-day range. And I want to develop all my heifers on pasture and hay. Well, my topic was how I've profited, so I went back and found my 1996-97 income tax returns. And those 2 years I averaged 129 cows. My cash cow costs those years were $392. But when I figure cow costs, I always want to add in what I expect for a salary, even though I don't pay myself. So I added $20,000 salary, which made my total cow cost $560. And this was pretty typical then. My income per cow was $475. So you can see I made a little bit on cash, but I was a long way from making my goal of having a salary. So I had an $83 net income cash per cow. And back then my goal was to make enough money that my daughter only qualified for reduced lunches instead of free lunches at school. And because we qualified for free lunch, but I'd bought a new dually truck, I was too embarrassed to take it. So anyway, it cost me 82 cents to produce a dollar income in 96-97. Then the 2011-2012 tax years, I had 170 cows, which was a 32% more cows. My cash cow costs were $502, which was a 28% increase. And then counting my labor, it was $648, which was a 16%. And this is what's the exciting part. The income per cow was $907, which was a 91% increase. And the net profit on cash was $405, which was a 386% increase. And the cost to produce a dollar income had dropped to 56 cents, which was a 31% decrease. So looking at this, you think, boy, I've really profited from improved reproduction, but, you know, prices have changed a whole lot. I don't know if you can see this, but this is a chart I found in Cattle Facts. It's got the cow-calf returns, and it's got three lines. The top red line is for a high return producer, and in the middle is the average, and then the blue line's low return. And if you go in 96-97, the average high return producer was around $75. So I was actually a high return producer in 96-97, but that was kind of scary. And then you come over to 2011-2012, and it's up around $250. So, yes, I'd say I've profited by approximately $150 over what Cattle Facts is quoting as a high return producer. And I could easily say half of that's due to my genetic program, and the other half's probably due to my forage management, because every day you don't have to feed a cow, you save approximately a dollar a day. So if I graze 75 days longer than average, that's $75 there. Some of the ways I profit: one, it's very easy to crossbreed. We always joke that one year we're going to breed every cow to a different bull. But so if I want some Hereford in there, I can put it in, or Simmental, or hybrids, what, or Angus, whatever. It's very simple. Just pull a different straw semen. And by getting more cows and heifers pregnant early, I have more replacements that I can sell on as private treaty. And I received carcass data on my steers. I can't really quote exactly what my first set of steers were when we fed them in the late 90s, because our old computer, everything's on a 3-inch floppy, and our new computer, I can't open any of my old files. But best I remember, we was running maybe 55-60% choice, and the last load of cattle was 100% choice. Of course, they overfed them a little bit. They were 30% fours, but we sold them live, so it didn't really matter. But we've made significant improvement in the grading and the carcass weight on cattle over the years. Calves are older and heavier at weaning. This date on this chart be over the last 5 years, but 89.6 of my calves have been born in the first 30 days of the calving season over the last 5 years. And AI calves gain a tenth more pound per day. This is take weaning weight minus birth weight divided by day of age. And so that doesn't seem like a lot, but if the calves are 275 days old, that's 27 pounds there. Just I can pretty much say that's all on genetics there. And this is a little bit funny, because the total death loss on AI calves is 5.2% versus 6.9%. I was telling Brian, about every bull I've used got genetic defects, so I guess it didn't have added, it wouldn't have had any dead calves. But I kind of look at this and think a lot of these defects, as long as you're not putting a carrier on a carrier, I'm not sure it's something I'm going to really worry about too much. And AI calves are worth more at the feedlot. Tim Supfin came up with this term, return to cow. It's where you take the value of the carcass minus the feed cost, the feed yard cost, and the trucking, and we call it return to cow. And for the last 5 years, the AI sired calves have averaged $104 more. They've averaged nearly 39 pounds more carcass weight. So when you look at that and say, well, the carcass is worth right now close to $2 a pound, that's about $77. So there's another $25-$30 that you can attribute probably to being older, bigger, better genetics, and they grow faster. And this surprised me a little bit when I looked it up, that my AI steers have averaged 43% CAB, but the natural service 46%, which tells me a couple of things. One, ultrasound works, because most of my natural service bulls have been high ultrasound IMF bulls. And I didn't put it on here because it'd be a negative, but they both averaged around 86% choice. So really the AI cattle haven't graded that much better than the natural, but they make up the money on the carcass weight and efficiency. And last winter, the average steer in the U.S. lost $150, and mine lost $15, so I made a $135 profit on them. It doesn't sound as bad when you look at it that way. Well, I want to talk a little bit about my heifer program. A number of years ago, I met Kit Farrow, and we agree on everything except we don't agree on anything. But he made a statement that raise your cattle the way you want to manage them, and I agree with that. But when it gets to cow size, we're totally different ballpark. But I have to tell you a funny story. He was up at the Forge meeting, and he made a statement when he was during his talk. He said, I pay for all of my reading material. He said, if you get these free magazines on beef production, they're not worth reading. So when we got done, he was out in the lobby, and I was talking to him. He said, have you signed up for my newsletter? I said, no, how much does it cost? He said, nothing, it's free. I said, well, you just said it's not worth reading if it's free, and walked off. And I met him a few years later, and he remembered me for some reason. But anyway, I decided that I was just going to raise these heifers like I did the cow herd. When I wean them, they get pasture. Try to give them a better quality. Graze them up till November. Synchronize them. Use a 14-day seeder. And we've been time breeding them at 60 hours. And then they'll get stockpile. And hey, I feed them just enough grain that they'll come when I pour it out. But since I was doing this talk, I had to come up with something. So one night I came up with this acronym, cows have to eat a lot of pasture or cheap. So that's why my heifer program's a cheap method. So we'll see. I've got the 5-year averages. This is not going to impress too many people. Over the last 5 years, I've averaged getting 49.5% of them pregnant AI and 12.5% open. So that's really not very impressive, but when you look at as 2-year-olds, these same heifers, I've averaged 73% AI and 2.6% open, and as 3-year-olds, it drops to 63% and 2.1%. Which kind of makes sense when you think about it, because as 2-year-olds, they're still got in good condition where they were open before they'd calved, and then they had to go through that first winter, and lots of times they'll get down body condition, fours, and so by 3-year-olds, they haven't really come back as much as they will later, but I still not having any open. Then all my cows last 5 years, I've averaged 68.3% AI and 2% open. And this is a question I've debated for a few years, whether to heat detect. And the two programs I use mostly to breed are the 7-day seeder, Select Sync, and the one I got marked 72, at 48 hours I'll pull the earlies and breed them, and then at 72 hours we'll mass mate. If they're not standing, we'll GNRH. Well, I've averaged 68% on that, and then the straight time bred 66 hours, we're averaging 69.3, and I attribute that to bull man here, Dave Whitlock, breeds all those, and if I breed the earlies, for some reason my percentage isn't as high as professional. So, and the first year we did that, had 25 cows. I was just going to try it on a group. And 48 hours before I was supposed to breed them, I had 5 of them standing. So I called Dave. It was a Sunday morning. It was 30 degrees, pouring snow. I said, what do we do? He said, well, he looked out the window and he said, let's just let them go and see how it does. We'll try to breed them early. Well, those 5... I marked them, and all 5 got pregnant AI. So the next couple of times I did it, I would mark them, and we got, just the first year or two, we got 15 out of 17 of those cows. Some of them been standing 30-some hours before we bred them. So that kind of tells me that for my program, I think heat detection is just a waste of time. And that's all I've got, so we'll keep things moving. If anybody has any, I don't know if you want to do questions now or later.